Welcome to the Spirit of the Delaware Valley, a special presentation of Holy Spirit Radio. And now, here's your host, Dave Parker.
Hello, this is Dave Parker at Holy Spirit Radio, bringing to you another edition of the Spirit of the Delaware Valley. And joining me by phone is my very good and frequent guest, Monsignor Michael McGee, who teaches at St. Charles Borromeo Seminary. And I invited Monsignor to join us by phone to talk about the homily that he gave yesterday. And that was the 31st Sunday? November 5th, 31st Sunday in Ordinary Time. And especially the Gospel. But I'll just turn it over to you, Monsignor, because I think your messages contained therein were very clear and succinct, and I think many of our listeners need to hear this. And they may have gone to Mass themselves and have heard their pastor or their celebrant talk about this. But I thought the way you presented it was just so clear, and
thank you,
and succinct and direct. So welcome aboard. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
So if you want to just kind of go into how you started your homily yesterday at St. Francis Cabrini Parish.
Thank you. I started off with sort of a reminiscence, because so often when I'm reading the Gospels, I think of things that I was shown in the Holy Land, and I remember so well going to the synagogue in Capernaum.
Mm-hmm.
The foundation of that synagogue is the same one that our Lord visited when he was there in Capernaum. It says that the Gospel tells us he visited the house where St. Peter and St. Peter's mother-in-law was with a fever, and he cured her there. That's the remains of that house are not far from that synagogue.
Mm-hmm.
I remember seeing one thing that was there, and that was the seat up in the front of the synagogue where the rabbi who was expounding the Torah, taking of the verse that was read that day and expounding it to the people and explaining it and how to live the Word of God. And that seat there, because the law of Moses is the center of Jewish life, that seat was called the chair of Moses.
Mm.
And our Lord actually mentions that seat in the Gospel, because he said, you have those who sit on the chair of Moses. And he actually respects their authority. He says, listen to what they say, because it is the Torah that they're teaching. But then he's rather harsh with them, and he says, don't follow their example, though, because they bind up heavy loads and they don't practice what they teach. It sort of just shows us there can be sometimes a discrepancy.
Mm-hmm.
Even when there's legitimate authority, there can be a discrepancy between teaching and what's done. And there can also be better teaching and not so good teaching. That there's ups and downs of that in the history of the church.
Mm-hmm.
But the important thing, I think, was that I saw in that was that the Lord was telling the people, you have to respect the law. You have to respect those who teach the law. But you also have to exercise your own discernment. You can't use the fact that somebody is teaching just as an excuse to hear whatever you want in that. And if there is an ambiguity, if there's something missing, to take that as an excuse to really disobey the law.
Mm-hmm.
I then moved from there to something that we're seeing all too much of in the church today. Unfortunately, there's a lot of confusion that's being bandied around. I think one problem is that so many people today get their news and their sense of what the church teaches from the media.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, that's going to be filtered through a particular filter that really is not going to be friendly to the Word of God. And the other problem is that, and I'd just be very honest about this, we have people in the church today who are not very clear about teaching, or frankly, some who are just teaching things that are contrary to what the church has always believed.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are bishops, some of them are cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
Just be honest about that.
Yes.
And, that is contributing to a confusion today. And so I think that the carryover from what the Lord is saying to the The people in his hearing there in the synagogue, or actually he was, I don't think he was in that synagogue when he was mm-hmm. when he was teaching, but referring to the thing that I mentioned there.
Yes.
Is just that, mm-hmm. I pointed out, the Second Vatican Council teaches us that the Holy Spirit is guiding the church.
Mm-hmm.
But the Holy Spirit guides the church in a number of ways. For one thing, the Holy Spirit guides the official teachers of the church, the Pope and the bishops, when they teach with their authority, and mm-hmm. they have the authority even to solemnly lay down something that is defined as an infallible teaching of the church that must be believed.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not mm-hmm. the way that it's happening every single day. There's ordinary teaching. The church is ordinary homilies, ordinary documents, and so forth. There's also just a lot of daily reflection on the Word of God that needs to be digested mm-hmm. and needs to be absorbed, and people should try to live it as well as they can. But when there is ambiguity in the church, the people themselves are mm-hmm. also guided by the Holy Spirit, and mm-hmm. they need to be faithful to that calling that every Catholic has, that by virtue of our baptism, we have the Holy Spirit, and mm-hmm. that gift that's within us helps us to recognize the truth when it's taught to us, mm-hmm. and also to recognize things that are not in keeping with the truth that has always been taught mm-hmm. by the Church.
Monsignor, if I may jump in, when you mentioned the infallibility of the teaching, I think you said something about, you know, each one of us are not infallible, but I mean, taken together, I mean, you can correct me, but taken together, the infallibility of the teaching, you know, of the church and the magisterium. Yes.
Right. That is, you know, really the main place where the infallibility of the church lives is in the whole body of the faithful.
Mm-hmm.
We have the promise of God that the entire church will never be led into error, because the Holy Spirit is in the church, and in addition to the infallibility of the teaching church, when they define those things, and admittedly those solemn definitions from the authority of the church in councils and from popes are not all that frequent. They're mm-hmm. you know, they're major, usually mainly in the great councils that there have only been 21 in the history of the church, but we have that whole depository of teaching that we can fall back on,
mm-hmm.
But also in the faithful, you know, that the faithful people who want to be led by God's word, and that's an important thing, because
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
it's called the sense of the faithful in the teaching of the church, and the sense of the faithful means that you're faithful. It means that you're not just looking to mm-hmm. hear whatever you want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
It means that you're wanting to be guided by God's truth, and you want to hear what God's word
mm-hmm.
is.
Mm-hmm.
That when that's really what you're seeking, God is going to give you the grace to hear his word within what is taught, and to hear the scriptures, and also to recognize when something doesn't sit right. I just mentioned two of mm-hmm. the things that are going around today
mm-hmm.
that are from different sources that people are getting the wrong idea
mm-hmm.
about. And
that's right.
I didn't just pick those because they're my favorite mm-hmm. Pet topics. And I picked them because I actually hear mm-hmm. people being misguided in these particular points. One is the question of divorce and remarriage, you know, and the idea that somehow people think that the church is not doing what she's always done in upholding marriage by saying that if there is that a second marriage is possible after a civil divorce, mm-hmm. and that you know, that's no big problem. Our Lord said very clearly that whoever divorces and marries another commits adultery, you know, and
mm-hmm.
that means
yes.
that second marriage creates a moral situation that is incompatible with Christian life.
It, mm-hmm.
And that doesn't send somebody to hell. It just means there's something that is ready to be, that has to be dealt with,
mm-hmm.
and that one's life with the Lord is not where it needs to be until it is dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the Catholic mm-hmm. Church, we have annulments, then that, people could ask the question, well, why is it, why is that piece of paper important? Well, that piece of paper is not just a piece of paper. It's an assistance from the authority of the church, which comes from the apostles, that a person who attempted marriage before, for some reason that marriage was not valid.
Yes.
And therefore, they are not bound by a marriage that turns out to be invalid. Mm-hmm. The reason people can't just make that decision for themselves is the seriousness of the marriage commitment. Mm-hmm. You know, almost anybody would be severely tempted just to leave themselves off the hook. Mm-hmm. You know, and so it takes an objective study of that attempted marriage, which was a public commitment taken in the church, but for whatever reason, it was not. It never came into being as the marriage that was intended. That's what would allow the person to be able to marry. And it's then, in the eyes of God, it's not a second marriage. It's the first real marriage. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to have made that commitment before, and while that's still an obligation there, to be married again outside of the church puts one in a situation that it just has to be dealt with. Mm-hmm. I have actually heard of people, and this is one of the reasons that I felt it important to say that. I've heard of people who were actually in that situation, and they were working with their priest to help to get the situation to where it needed to be, so that they could have a new marriage in the church, and that they would then be able to resume the life of Holy Communion and the sacraments. And when they mistakenly heard what was being said, as if, well, no, that's not important, you just go on to communion and don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yes.
That's a very serious misunderstanding.
Yes.
You know, because it means that they're just leaving something that's a serious situation that needs to be dealt with, a moral situation that needs to be dealt with, as if it weren't a serious thing, and trivializing it in their relationship with the Lord. That's a really serious threat to their spiritual well-being.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that was one of the situations. The other is the situation of so many people wanting homosexual marriages, as they call them, to be blessed by the church. You know, that's an objectively immoral situation, and there can't be a marriage between a man and another man. There can't be a marriage between a woman and another woman. And to ask the church to bless that union would be something that the church simply cannot do.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, out there, and this is one of the things I'm, you know, actually some people are not hearing it. If they're not hearing the news, then I think that's even good.
Yes.
But we hear from Germany, from Belgium, from other places that there are even priests and bishops who are saying, you know, come and receive a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
I think the excuse they're using is that they are blessing individuals rather than the union itself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, that's valid. To bless individuals, even if they're in a state of sin, they can still receive a blessing. But the difficulty, the pastoral problem, is the misrepresentation of the teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And they're giving the impression that the church can bless same-sex unions, which simply is not possible.
Mm-hmm. Which the media, the multimedia sources around the world, we all know what, you know, we're immersed in media. But that's to your point of how we're being misled, because misunderstanding or deliberate, obfuscation
right.
of the church's teaching, or not knowing of the church's teaching, but, oh, it's okay just to go do that anyways. And then people start,
right.
they inculcate or they bring in that message, and then they start doubting, and that's the confusion that
sure.
it's creating. Correct?
And we're on,
yeah.
Right. But, you know, if we're honest, we know that the church has never believed this. We know that the church has always believed that marriage is only between a man and a woman. We know that the church has always believed that marriage is forever, and while a marriage is in existence and the two parties are both living, a person cannot marry again and have that be a marriage blessed in the eyes of the church. That's simply not possible,
mm-hmm.
you know. And to so we have to know that these are things that cannot be changed. Mm-hmm. No priest can change them. No bishop can change them. No pope can change them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unfortunately, I think there are a lot of...
And why is that? Because they came from Jesus and
the
apostles.
Are servants of the Word of God. They're not. Yes. They don't have power to change the Word of God. Mm-hmm. I do think that some people are confused about what they think what they think the Pope is saying. I've read very carefully what Pope Francis has said about these things, and I do not believe that he's contradicting what I'm saying. I do believe if he did contradict what I am saying here, he would be wrong because he just doesn't have the authority to change the Word of God. But I don't think that he has.
Mm-hmm.
If you read very carefully what he has said, he has not said something other than this. I do, in all honesty, I think different popes have different gifts. Clarity is not exactly his gift, you know.
Yes,
he's very very good about outreach to people. He's taught us a lot about the importance of accompanying people, and that's so important because we haven't always been good about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I think people have got the impression we're saying this is the rules. Mm-hmm. Go away and come back when you've decided to follow all the rules, you know.
Well,
we have to accompany them better than that. We have to help them and work with them and you know, and love them as they are working to do what they need to do. We all need support when we have to do things that are difficult.
Absolutely. So, Monsignor, what would you say to someone, let's say, about the annulment issue or, you know, any of that? What advice now is coming forth, as you say, you know, the accompaniment and then the training going on at the seminary, which you were part and parcel of and integral with?
Right.
What has changed in the teaching? The changes, but I mean more the accompaniment and making aware, be sensitive. Not everybody is there yet in that position where they may take umbrage, like, how can they tell me what to do? And then we lose them or because they are not understanding the teaching of the church. I mean, weren't catechized
First of all, I would say, if someone is divorced, and with a marriage in the church and then divorced and wants to remarry, I would say, why is an annulment important? Okay, here's why it's important.
Mm-hmm.
Because marriage that's a real marriage is unbreakable.
Mm-hmm.
And so if there's going to be another marriage, if you're that person wanting to enter into another marriage, you yourself need to know that you're not breaking an already existing bond of marriage. You need to know if you enter into a marriage that it's not violating another marriage that's still existing. And often that's the case because there's something in that previous marriage that kept it from coming together as the way it should be as a true marriage with all the goodwill that people may have. But the person... There needs to be the church then in the annulment process is in the service of people's conscience so that they know and can be absolutely sure they are not violating the norm of the law of God, that they're not breaking an existing marriage, that for some reason that marriage is not a marriage in the true sacramental sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once that's the case, then a person is free then. They're not bound by anything and are able to enter into a marriage. And the church has a serious responsibility of guarding the value and the truth of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the process exists. Now, what I could say has changed, and this is the good news, and that is that Pope Francis has actually done a lot to help people to go through the annulment process much more easily than ever before.
Mm-hmm.
He's simplified the process.
Yes.
He's asked parishes all over the world and dioceses all over the world to cover the cost so that people don't have an economic cost, unless it's just something nominal an economic cost in having to go through that. The priests who work in that process are very pastorally oriented and are there to help people rather than to grill them and put them through the ringer. A tribunal is essentially a court, the way it works is people don't have to sit in a courtroom. They sit and speak to one priest or one person who's working to help with the annulments, and from their testimony, those things are put together. They don't have to be grilled in a courtroom or anything like that. It's a very humane process. It does often bring up a lot of emotional hurt. That's a good thing, though, if the emotional hurt that's coming up is precisely so that it can be healed. Because it's like sometimes, you know, when you go to the doctor, you have to go into whatever it is that's hurting, or else you can't find the right medicine.
Correct. Yes, yes.
You know, and that's the way that. That's what's happening in the annulment process a lot of times.
Well, thank you very much, Monsignor. The homily was just excellent. So how did you end that? I'm trying to remember, kind of cut to the end of that.
I just ended it with what our Lord is saying, you know, don't make idols out of human beings, and the Word of God is what we serve. And I ended it because I lately like to say something about the Holy Eucharist at the end of Mass, at the end of the homily. And I just mentioned, you know, we have this great, awesome gift that we're about to move to now, where the bread and wine are brought forward to become the body and blood of the Lord. We know that because God revealed it to us. I'm just trying to illustrate the importance of not going just by our own opinions or our own feelings, because our own opinions or feelings would have never got us to that amazing truth.
Exactly.
It's only because it's the Word of God. And so it's just so important that we form our souls not by our own just desires that we think are what we need or the emotions of the moment, but to nourish our souls with the Word of God and let the Word of God challenge us, because when we do, we end up more at peace and more prepared for heaven.
Wow. Thank you. Beautiful, Monsignor McGee. Now, with probably about 5 minutes that we have, I was going to, you know, after I thank you for that, do you feel you can cover the ICF and some quick changes
or
what's going on in the next 5 minutes or so?
Sure. Thank you. Yes.
Okay.
You're talking about the program that I'm so happy that you've been a part of here at St. Charles Seminary. A lot of people think that the seminary is only for educating future priests, and that is the main work we do. But the part that I'm the dean of is the School of Theological Studies, which is for all of the students and others who want to be enriched in their faith, who are not studying for the priesthood, that they might be lay people, they might be priests who want to brush up on more theology, they might be just people who want to study, get a deeper understanding of their faith. And we have programs, too, that are non-credit, non-degree, because a lot of people, they don't necessarily need a college degree in theology, but they would enjoy going deeper in their faith. And that's the program that we're talking about, the Institute for Christian Formation.
Yes,
And
I love it.
It's going through the Catechism of the Catholic Church, just section by section. The whole program is 2 years, but people don't have to commit to 2 years. They can just go just a season by season. And what our experience has been, most of the people, once they start, they want to go through the whole thing. But there's no obligation. They could just come to any section of it that they want. And to be there with others who want to learn more about their faith. So often Catholics go through grade school, a Catholic school, and they think they've learned everything there is to learn, and it's such a joy and such a charge for them when they really begin to realize that as adults, there's as much to learn as you learned when you were children about the faith, because you're engaging it on a different level.
And well, from your perspective as, well, forming it with a team, but then actually presenting it on several nights. I mean, you may be the presenter, Monsignor, of whatever section that night. And from your perspective, you're a teacher by nature and by gift. So would you say you enjoy teaching us on the in the catechism seminar? You know, do you enjoy? I know you enjoy that. I mean, and we have actually, it's fun. It's fun.
I love the material that I'm teaching, but it's just, I love to see people are receiving it and excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what I see.
And there's a lot of good interaction and discussion and or opportunity for that. And ladies and gentlemen, Holy Spirit Radio family of listeners, it's something I invite you to look into. And if they wanted to look into that, Monsignor, how do they get to that? What's the website?
Well, if they go to the website of the seminary, that's an easy web page URL. It's just SCS for St. Charles Seminary .edu, scs.edu. And when you get to the seminary main page, there's a section that you can click that is the School of Theological Studies. And that would take you to all of our different offerings, whether the MA in Theology for anyone who wants to study, or the Institute for Christian Formation, which is the program we were just talking about.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much.
We also do have courses now available online as well, so that's mm-hmm. a new possibility for people who might even want the college credit courses but are not able to drive in.
Mm-hmm. And are there some other courses? I mean, I think they're $60. I mean, you can teach in like a little series or something.
Right, there are mini courses.
Mini courses,
in the different areas of theology, eight different areas of the teaching of the church, from the person of Christ, the Old Testament, the New Testament, the moral law. And there are eight of those courses that are, yes, those are specially designed for catechists and for teachers, Catholic school teachers, but they are, we do have a lot of people who are not any of those things, but just want to kind of brush up on their understanding of the church's teaching, and mm-hmm. And those are actually very affordable, as you mentioned, $60 per course,
mm-hmm.
and each one of those mini courses takes about a month to go through,
mm-hmm.
and they're offered four times a year.
Excellent. Monsignor Michael McGee, thank you very much. And would you bless us or close us with a blessing, please?
Certainly. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, I ask your blessing on all those who are listening to this radio program, and I ask you to give them both the light of your illumination and also the love for your word. Keep them safe from the evil one and protect their growth in the knowledge of your goodness. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Monsignor. Thank you again for coming on, and you're always welcome. Have a good evening and a good week. This is Dave Park at Holy Spirit Radio, and for the Spirit of the Delaware Valley, take care, God bless, and talk to you soon.